if the opportunity came, I'm like, yeah, I'm taking a chunk out of it. I want a piece of that blade.
This is the last chance I'm going to get at designing a Hypershock for a toy, so it had to be perfect.
They knew that they couldn't really go weapon to weapon, so they went weapon to side of weapon.
We hit the jackpot in Vegas.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Outside of the Box. And I've been wanting to do this for some time, but I thought it was a great opportunity to talk about Proving Grounds, Destructathon. I know there's so many fans that ask a lot of questions about it, because if you haven't gone, including myself, I haven't gone. So I only know what I see in videos and what I hear from people, but I'm going to have a couple of the competitors who have gone to Proving Grounds, like I am, you know, in this interview right now, and then going to have a couple more folks on later in the episode. But right now, I have Craig Danby and Jason Rogers with me to talk about Proving Grounds. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Great. So I'm just curious to hear, you know, as somebody, you know, I only know what I see, but for, you know, your experience in Proving Grounds, first of all, talk about it from just like a viewing perspective. There's a lot of fans that obviously have been to BattleBots tapings. For both of you, you know, what do you think is like, is there any major differences? I mean, obviously, other than the fact of it's not like a tournament per se, but there are stakes on the line. I mean, like, you're trying to showcase your robot. So,
well, I mean, a lot of people will go to Vegas, they'll go see the show. Not every single show is a Proving Grounds show. The Proving Grounds itself is a whole separate thing, which only happens on Saturdays and Sundays. And that's not every weekend. We're trying to get it so that it'll be every weekend. And as much as I try and be out there, I've almost been there every weekend. This is my, I am currently in Dallas. I am leaving Dallas at 3 o'clock tomorrow morning to go to Vegas to go and compete this weekend. So that'll be my, I think it's my seventh trip to Proving Grounds. But the actual main show itself, if you're going to go to Vegas, you want to see the show, it is a scripted show in that there are five fights every single time you go there. Those fights are generally the same. They do swap them out every so often. The fights themselves are a little bit choreographed, but what actually happens in the fights is completely random. There's a, like, the first fight is almost always Kraken versus Tazbot. And you can tell that fight is a little bit choreographed. But compare that to the final fight, which is almost always Witch Doctor versus Hypershock, and they are tearing each other to shreds every single time. There is no scripted part about it. I think Trey and whoever he's driving, I think he just picks people he doesn't like, and he just spins up and destroys them. It's terrific. But you get random, like, old school bots versus new school bots. So you have people like Overkill versus like Mammoth. Do you remember watching that one, Jason, where he hooked him up?
I thought
he was going to suplex him all the way. Mammoth hooked the sword on Overkill and
I just flung it.
Flung him up into the air, and I thought he was going to go all the way and suplex him, and he didn't. He just hooked him up and then just whoop and just yeeted him out of the arena. That was fantastic. But the fights are real. The outcomes are not predetermined in any of the fights. Even the ones that are choreographed, then there's the special guest that Nightmare fights. That is pretty much predetermined. But when you see it, you'll understand. But there's no fight. Like, anybody can win their fights. It's pretty cool. And then you get to the weekends where you do the Proving Grounds weekends, and anything can happen. you have bots like myself who had a pretty terrible time at World Championship 7, who have gone away, redesigned, rebuilt. This have actually built two different Slammos since the last World Championship, and with the help of Jason, which is why he's here, We have turned Slammo into a pretty good robot right now. So
what's it ranked? I couldn't remember. What's it currently ranked?
It's currently what? Ranked second.
What?
So the Proving Grounds, there's a ranking system. And when we started at the end of World Championship 8, we were actually number 53. And we are now number 2. So the idea behind the ranking, I believe, is that numbers 1 through X, I believe it's 6, will qualify for the next World Championship. So that's why I've had this cycle of I'm going to go back. So I get my ranking back up. So I believe that was the intention. I believe that's why they keep updating it. We are currently second overall. But the Proving Grounds fights can be, they are either spectacular and amazing, like Manta versus Triton, Magnitude and Hypershock, terrific fights, absolutely wonderful fights, or you get things like Slammo and Overkill, which was a dud, what was another one? Oh, the first Banshee versus Max Paralysis was not a great fight. But the fight the next day for Banshee and Max Paralysis was way better. So it's a real chance for builders to take something that they've been working on kind of secretly in the cupboard and then put it out in front of an audience of up to like 1,000 people or something like that, in front of like Vegas people, and have a wonderful time. The builders themselves, the guys at BattleBots, really treat you like, you know, they really treat you great. So Rob especially is fantastic back there. All of the guys that are maintaining all of the bots there, they all want to help. They all want to see your robot and they all want to help you get it working. And there's got to give a shout out to Kelly, the welder fabricator, because she has put our robots back together so many times.
I think it's now to the point, if we're like the last time we were there, I mean, you know, I think she just comes up to us because she knows, you know.
Yeah. she's a really good little welder. So little, she's like 6 foot tall. She's quite intimidating.
Yeah. I think probably the neatest thing, because we often sit out and watch, you know, even when we're there to compete, we sit out and watch the show. But the music, the music is great. I mean, I always love the music. The announcers, that's something that adds just such a twist to it. They play off of each other. They really involve the crowd. You know, it's a lot of fun. And the let's say the team characters. You know, they bring so much to it. It's so interactive. And I mean, that's something, if you're going out, I mean, the tournament is incredible. Okay. But I mean, that's something you just don't get there. And I mean, you know, for me, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. It's a good laugh, you know, it's interactive. And then, you know, you're going to see some great fights too. So, and you know, Trey, he's incredible. You know, he gets into a lot of history stuff and, you know, he speaks a lot. So I think there are some things Destruxon offers that you wouldn't, if you're going out for a couple of days, that you wouldn't get in the tournament, you know?
Possibly, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I mean, I don't know what I thought I was expecting when I went to filming. And I mean, I had a blast. It was a fantastic time. But I mean, when you're actually watching the fights, there's not really a lot going on. Like, there's no announcer, you know, you're just kind of watching a fight and it's just happening. So it's a different experience. It's not as much of a show as like just being there for something that you're going to eventually see on TV.
And Destructathon, you really not to really, you know, reveal, but I mean, you get to really get up close and personal with the bots as well as Proving Ground drivers and
the rest. Yeah. So you can get a VIP package. So you can get a regular ticket and then you can buy like the tour thing that happens at the end. And one of the actors that's part of the team crew will walk you through, and you get to get up close and personal with some of the robots, and you get to see like, wow, that actually did damage that. That is That is actually AR-500 steel that is around like a banana and torn off. That is a real robot that has been it's not a showpiece. That is a real robot that is in pieces. And it's a real, that side of it is fantastic. And what I can say is I went to the second Proving Grounds that happened, like the second one ever. The first one was Disarray versus Predominator or something like that. A big wedgy thing. Anyway, that was the first one, and then it was Us versus Doom for the second one. And the show has changed so much from that, like, very beginning through to where I saw it last in December. It's phenomenal. It's such a wonderful, like, it's so much more polished. It's so much better than it was. Bill and Steve, the two hosts. Bill is just an old man now. He's just this weird old man making really bad dad jokes. And then you've got Steve, who's this Aussie guy who's like super professional, and they're both terrific. And
they play off each other
They do. And it's gotten the banter between them is so much better than it was at the beginning. It felt a little forced at the beginning. And now that they're like you and me, it's like, okay, all right, yeah, shut up, you idiot. No, you shut up. Yeah, it's wonderful. They interact extremely well. So I think the show is far better now than it was when it first started. So I can't wait to see what it'll be like kind of towards the end of the year. So I think it's gonna keep improving.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as far as the Proving Grounds aspect, I think this is like kind of a rhetorical question, but I mean, I still think it's important to talk about, but like the importance of having that as a resource to test your robot, because I mean, something that's been talked about so much before this came about, you know, way back in the beginning when I kind of started the show and would talk to builders about, you know, their robots, most people don't have a box to test a heavyweight, let alone like an actual match that could happen and really kind of get that interaction with another robot. So, I mean, you know, kind of talking about the value of this as a resource to be able to do that.
Well, it's what it's allowed us to do is to go from a version of Slammo that just doesn't work to a version of Slammo that is like really, really like I turn it to Proving Grounds, having shipped it in a box, and I plug the batteries in, turn it on, and it drives, and then it goes and lifts things. And without doing some things like Proving Grounds has really allowed us to dial in what will work, what does work, what doesn't work, what's good, what's bad. And we're in like our third or fourth drivetrain like evolution. And we couldn't do that kind of like battle hardening and that kind of battle testing without putting it into a battle box. And we used to use things like Orlando Maker Faire, but they've stopped doing heavyweights. We used to go down, I've been down to Houston and fought at Robotica, but they're not doing that anymore. There is RoboGames, but for me it's the other side of the country and it's quite a long way to go, and it's a whole thing. But the thing with Vegas is that, you know, I could ship the robot 2 weeks in advance, fly in, have two fights, and fly out again and ship the robot back. And it's a really, really wonderful setup. So the possibility of going and testing basically whenever I feel like it, I can't do that at Maker Faire. I can't do that at RoboGame because they only happen at particular times of the year. So if I just want to go test and I don't have a fight, and I could just call up Rob at BattleBot, say, hey, I'm going to fly in this weekend. I want to test some stuff. And people do that. So Gigabyte has been there a bunch of times. Doom has been there a bunch of times and not fought. They've gone out there and they've just used the test box and used it to test. And it's a really, really wonderful setup. And I think we've just killed Jason. I think he's died.
That may be the case. I mean, you know, I think like it's not only a great resource, like, you know, obviously for people to have brand new robots, you know, and they're testing completely different designs, this is an advantage. But I mean, I really think for anybody that, you know, wants to test the robot. Because I mean, you know, I've talked about this with a lot of builders before. Every year you might have like this robot that was in the previous world championship, but there can still be a lot that's changed about the robot itself, even though like to the fans watching on TV, it looks like essentially the same robot, but there could be a lot of other things inside of there that have changed and need testing.
Yes. So we have like miniaturized everything inside Slammer. We got rid of a bunch of stuff that we didn't need. So when we got to Championship 7, we had all of this structure around our lifter weapon to kind of keep it structurally sound and supported. And then it was just to get us through filming all of these add-on bits and all of these add-on bits here and on the drive and stuff like that. And like, you know, there's a way to do this better. Like, we can do this better than we are currently doing it and make the robot so much smaller. The Slammer that fought 2022 was huge. It's enormous. It was nearly 36 inches wide. And the current Slammer is down to like 20 inches wide. So we've dropped like 16 inches off the width of it. She's so much smaller front to back. The chassis is about 8.5 inches. She's very small. And then there's like 16 inches of forks at the front. But, you know, we are visibly different from where we were. But all of the kind of development that came in to that came from being at Proving Grounds. So the first version of Slammer that I took was basically just a decluttered version of the 2022 Slammer. And we took what was good about the decluttered one, and we made a better version, one that was easier to work on, but one that was easier to kind of handle and manufacture. And we couldn't have done that without Proving Ground. So if there'd been a championship last year, we would have taken the kind of decluttered version of Slammo, and it would have done okay. It was better than it was. Things worked where they were supposed to. But the next championship, we'll see two iterations on from Slammo. In fact, we're about to reiterate on that one. So it's going to make that one a little bit better. We've moved on so quickly in that time. We kind of have outpaced some other teams, maybe. So we've got a lot more like development, and that is the real thing that Proving Grounds is really giving us. They're really giving us that opportunity to kind of develop what we're doing and stuff like that. So and it's also a chance for, look at Apex. Apex is a big, weird design that will probably, you know, you look at it and like, it's probably never going to work. But you'll never know that unless you put it in the arena. So while it was very expensive to bring Chris from England and the robot from England to go do that, it was well worth it, because we could see this works, this doesn't work. We could step away and we can do step away from this section of the design and do this instead. And it was very, very valuable. And, you know, you can't do that anywhere but Proving Grounds.
Yeah, certainly with the heavyweights. Because actually, one thing that I was thinking is that, you know, obviously, like, I talk about NHRL often on my show. And I think one of the reasons why so many of those top robots in that league are so dialed in is because of the fact that they can go to multiple events and iterate and make the robots better. And by the time it gets like towards the end of the year, some of these robots are just like at the top of their game. And I think what BattleBots has done with Proving Grounds is essentially leveled up the product of BattleBots, because Proving Grounds offering an opportunity for folks to really dial in their robots is making BattleBots overall better.
Yeah, I mean, JMO is a really, really great example of using something like what he's doing at NHRL and any of the other events he's doing to kind of iterate on little design changes, little functional changes, little things that could be better here, could be better here. And he really, really stepped up his game. And that's because he's doing that lots of incremental steps to get to become better. I had the absolute privilege of sitting opposite him at the finals in November. And I watched how organized he was, and he came. He as soon as he knew who he was fighting next, him and his teams, he's like, I want to do this and I want to do this. Let's do this and this, and he starts putting it on. And goes, you know, let's do this and this instead. And he's so organized. And he's so sort of clear minded. And for me, it's about trusting that the robot will do what you want it to do. And it didn't matter what setup he put on. He trusted that the robot was going to do what he wanted it to do with whatever setup. And that's because he's so well disciplined and he's so well organized. And that's what wins championships. So the idea of being able to go to somewhere like Proving Grounds is like you can kind of, you can fight your way up. You can make those tiny little iterations. What we'll see come World Championship 8 is we'll see a bunch of bots that have been to Proving Grounds like Manta, Orbitron, who's just fought this last weekend and look absolutely fantastic. Somebody like Disarray has improved a great deal a long way as well. Magnitude looks fantastic. Magnitude has just, it looks fantastic, and they're fighting again, I think, the week after I go up. So, what you'll find is that the bots that do Proving Grounds will come in kind of like a little bit ahead of where you would generally would have expected them to be. So the hope is that somebody like Doom produces something awesome as well, and they can get that shot at the main roster and take a step forward as well, because we've made huge steps with Slammo, and I believe that I firmly believe now that Slammo will do better than it, people will expect it to do.
Slammo needs to meet my prediction that it's going to win a giant nut.
We'd love it.
Maybe one day. So I'm very tempted to let the girls from G-Force drive Slammo, but we'll see.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I think that it's with this whole topic, though, I think it's so interesting because when I look back at a lot of the things that happened at World Championship 7, the last time that we actually had a season, there's two really big things that are noticeable is that the two robots that are in the finals were teams that have just constantly iterated and put work into testing and getting their robot dialed in. And then on the contrast of that, you saw some teams that had made some changes to their robot, but maybe really didn't have a lot of time to test it or make sure that it worked the way that they wanted it to. And then it ended up having problems as a result of that. And I think that this is just a way to prevent that from happening, hopefully.
Well, if you think about the NHRL, the BattleBots World Championship 7 finals, the top four were all NHRL champions. All four of them. You had Chad and Billy, what's his name? I'm so sorry, Jonathan, and of course Luke, were on Copperhead, and they've all got golden dumpsters. Your JMO, he's got golden dumpsters, and all of the awards that JMO has won. Fuck you, JMO. I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize. You got Huge, who's won so many little events and stuff like that. All of the all of the smaller events that they've gone on and done, and the Ribot guys who kind of shocked everybody because they had such a poor start to the season, and then they came through. That was a real, that really showed the NHRL side of things. So I think the ability to go to other live events, not just Proving Grounds, is a huge boost to kind of your confidence about what you can do with the robot. And dialing in a heavyweight is really difficult, where there's literally one place to go dial your robot in, really, really dial it in, and that's in Las Vegas. And so if you'd like to join my BattleBots group that is on Facebook because you want to go and compete at Proving Grounds, go ahead and send a request and we'll get you added, and you go build a robot and go and compete, because it's wonderful. I highly recommend going to do the big wheel thing that we did.
Loved it.
It was great. Go spend a bit more and do the all you can drink one, because by the time you get to the other end,
Well, I mean, I'd personally love to, but I think it's gonna take a long way for me to take up Donald Hudson's suggestion that I make Poison Apple into a heavyweight.
Why not? All it takes is a few thousand dollars.
That's all.
A lot of AR-500 and some welding. That's pretty much all I do.
That's it. It's easy.
Welders. There's plenty of people. I'll come weld some stuff for you. All you gotta do is just throw it on, send and press go. It's easy.
Yeah, it's
Easy.
fine.
We've got a handful of bots that I guess we'll end up at Proving Ground. Because I'm sure we'll bring Apex back. I'm sure at some point we'll bring Black Dog out.
Yep.
So yeah, we've got a handful. Maybe against each other. I don't know.
No.
is it counterproductive for us to tear up each other?
He'll rip your ears off.
They're sacrificial.
They are.
I mean, it's such a great it. I love the tournament, but man, I mean, the tournament it's long. We're out there a few weeks, and it's long days. And man, going out for the Destructon, it's like a mini vacation. Look, we know our fight schedule, so we know exactly what time we're fighting both days. I love that. I mean, you have time to get out and do some sightseeing, and
Go see a
I mean,
show.
it's great. Yeah, absolutely. It's like a little mini vacation, and again, you know what time you're fighting. You can have your bot ready. It's nice. I enjoy it, and I'm really thankful that they put it, that they continue putting on that show for us, because I mean, it's one of my favorite things. I love it, and so yeah, I enjoy it a lot.
I mean, like I said, for folks that are watching, like definitely if you say that you want to go see BattleBots, I think that it sounds like Proving Grounds, Destructathon, like all of that is a really great time. So you should definitely go check it out, because the more that we support what BattleBots is doing with this, I think it's much more likely that we see a World Championship 8, very soon. So keep doing that. But for now, we're going to go ahead and cut to my discussion with Mr. Chad New. So stay tuned for more Proving Grounds discussion. And now we are here with Chad New. From Magnitude to kind of talk about what's going on with him. So, why don't you say hi to the people, Chad?
Hi, people, specifically, hi, Craig. Craig told me to do this interview with my shirt off, so I'm just kidding. Craig and I are like this. But hi, everybody. Hi, Craig. Hello. Thanks for having us on.
Yes, definitely. Well, I think I would say Magnitude is one of the more exciting new robots potentially coming for World Championship 8. Obviously, I'm excited because my bestie and counterpart, Ashley Beckman, is part of Team Magnitude. So, just excited to talk about your experience so far going to Destructathon and Proving Grounds, because I imagine, at least to some extent, it's a different experience trying to bring something brand new than something that has been around and kind of has a pedigree.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's Ashley is great, and the whole team, and that's one of the best things about doing this, and the reason why, being the captain, like I want to do it. It's to hang out with my friends, it's to hang out with my son, it's to meet new people, and it's a vehicle to have more fun. So that's why we're doing it. As far as being a new robot trying to break in, it is challenging, because we're a little bit of the same, but we're a little bit different at the same time. It's something that's a little bit more fun and has a little more pizzazz, a little more bling, a lot more fun with a great team behind it. So hopefully, when those Wonder Twin powers combined, we get something that's entertaining.
Well, I mean, that is true. And I mean, personally for me, and I know this is something that Trey will actually talk about later in the segment that I did with him, but for BattleBots, it is important equally to be entertaining, as a robot, as a team, if not even more so than just the fact of like winning than anything else, because, ultimately when the fans watch the show, they have robots that they gravitate towards, and it's not always the robots that win all the time. Sometimes it's just the personality of the team. And I mean, I know most of your teammates, and that team has just a, like, there's no limit to the personality that they have.
Yeah, we are an all-star team of funness. You know, Copperhead set the standard of being an all-star, the all-star team of fun, and now Magnitude's gonna, well, you know, we'll inch up just a little bit because we do have so many awesome people on the team. And if we don't get in, then we'll all jump over to Copperhead, and then Copperhead will be even that much more fun. So it's all good. But yeah, we really want to hang our hat on a robot that is durable, with a good team behind it. Because my favorite fights, I don't know about you, but let me ask you this: what are your favorite type of fights? Is it, you know, like a Rusty kind of fight, or is it like a Copperhead versus in-game fight that they just go the full 3 minutes? What do you like to see?
I mean, for me personally, as a fan, I'm always a fan of going the 3 minutes. I mean, like the one shots that happen in 15 seconds, it's like, wow, that just happened. But they're not as entertaining overall as just a great back and forth drag out fight that goes the full 3 minutes.
That is objective number two. Objective number one is to be fun and have lots of personality. Objective number two is to be a robot that can, you know, hopefully do 3 minutes worth of butt kicking. But inversely to that, if we have our butt kicked for 3 minutes, but we last the whole time and we throw up a good fight, then that's the goal of Magnitude. And I think that we proved that we're able to do that with our first set of Proving Grounds outings. Versus Hypershock. I mean, Hypershock, Will, and Alex are A-plus, you know, Apex robot. And we went toe-to-toe with them twice. I think, you know, only getting counted out by how long, Alex? Like
seconds.
Yeah, like 10 seconds total. You know, we hung with them. And, you know, they deserve the win. But for a robot that's brand new, having, you know, 3 minutes of drive time, lasting the full, almost the full go around with Hypershock twice, I count that as a win.
Yeah, I would agree. Now, you know, what do you think about Proving Grounds overall as having been a real resource to builders to have that ability to take your robot, not only get it in a box, but get it in a box in a real fight against another competitor? I mean, I just think that it's phenomenal. It you know, leaves something for the fans to be able to go out at any point in the year and not just sit around waiting for filming all year. And also to the competitors to have this ability to test and then go back and iterate and make changes.
Yeah, it really is nice. It is nice to have that resource. So, you know, this instance, Proving Grounds is going to be our prep for Robo Games. So what we learned from the last fight with Hypershock, you know, we have a new weapon and we have some magnets and we have new wheels. And I'm looking at one of the frames over here, seeing what we have new. So we have a lot of changes that we're throwing into the robot that we really want to throw down at Robo Games, because that is you know, a legacy competition, and it's what I grew up going to watching during the BattleBots down years. So we really want to do well there, but it sure is nice to be able to go to Proving Grounds ahead of time to give it a real good shakedown versus Taco Tuesday version 2, and we'll have the battle for Colorado. So it'll be a lot of fun, but just in general, it is a good resource, you know, for anybody who wants to go maybe build a heavyweight or test their heavyweight. It's nice to have it there at any point in time, and you don't have to wait for a season of BattleBots proper to be filmed, or Robo Games, or insert whatever competition, just to have that arena there. If you can get there and fight, then it's nice to have that resource.
Yeah, for sure. I'm curious to hear from your perspective as a parent too, because I mean, you do involve your kiddo in this a lot. And I mean, that's like, I know for me, that's something that I am very happy to have, like, that to share with mine, as she kind of grows her interest in building robots herself. Has that been something that's been really meaningful for you to be able to do that?
Absolutely. The hobby, the sport, whatever you want to call it, if we're being honest, between me and you right here, right now, me and you as parents, it's a horrible idea. Financially speaking, this is the most, it's dumb. It's dumb. We're building something that is meant to be destroyed. And at the heavyweight level, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars that is going to get destroyed. But thanks to like our sponsors, like AccuPrecision, Alex is over here. One of the Accu, well, two of them, two Alexes are here. It helps offset that. But, you know, the main reason that I do it is because of that. Like some of the most successful people that I know in my sphere of friends are robot people. And if I can teach my son what this has taught me in problem solving and in being social and, you know, in the world of, it's not necessarily what you know, but who you know, being involved in this very niche group of nerds is fantastic. It's so much fun. The people that you get to know are just awesome people. There's so few that wouldn't pass the come over to my house for a barbecue test that you could probably count them on one hand. So it's huge having my son involved, and honestly the really motivating factor behind it.
Yeah, I mean, same. And it's funny, I always like to point this out. I mean, soon, who knows how many I'm going to have, but like a year ago, even having, you know, done this podcast for a while, a year ago, I had zero combat robots in my house. Currently, I have four combat robots in my house, one of which my child mostly built herself. So it's kind of interesting how once you start doing it, it doesn't stop.
I've been doing it for 16, 17 years, something like that. I have robots all over my garage that are older than my children and your children. Like I have a 15-year-old flipper robot right there that I'm really contemplating bringing to Robo Games just because it's a 60-pound robot and there's not a lot of places that can do it. And you know, why not? But no, it's so important to get your kids involved in it. And I really like that, you know, other events have kind of popped up over the last several years that have an education focus behind kind of the gist of it, because it really is. It's one thing to learn something in school and read a book and sit on your computer. But when somebody, you know, you build something, it gets destroyed and you're like, you got 20 minutes to fix it. That's when real learning happens.
For sure. And then kind of a last more fun question is that, so last season that, well, I should say last year in general, but Copperhead was nominated for a Boxy Award for Best Team Walkout. Is Magnitude going to win this year's Boxy Award for Best Team Walkout if and when BattleBots happens?
I sure think so. Chris and Lindsay are creative geniuses when it comes to anything in the world of the wild, wacky, and fun. So with Chris having, you know, more time to kind of marinate it on things, I don't see why not. We could, you know, Chris was building props and things for Copperhead. But, you know, it's safe to say that Chris will still help out Copperhead because we're all kind of one big team. You know, if I'm spearheading Magnitude, I hope that maybe just a little more creative juice will flow our way.
I'm sure that if anything, Ashley will make certain that Magnitude is nominated for the Boxy Award.
All of the awards.
Exactly. There are many others. So, well, that's exciting. I mean, I certainly, as a big fan of the style of robot that you work with, I would love to see Magnitude in the next season of BattleBots, and, you know, look forward to what's to come. Hopefully we get some news on that pretty soon.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. This next Proving Grounds will have a 60-pound drum. Joey's been whipping up that like, you know, from his car technology, the ghost rate technology. So We'll have that, you know, a handful of more upgrades. So hopefully everything works out. We do great. We go to Robo Games and we win a fight or two and maybe get our butt kicked or who knows, but we'll go out having fun and go down swinging.
Absolutely. We are about to cut to a really exciting discussion with Trey Roski, co-creator of BattleBot. So stay tuned.
Hi, Trey.
And we're back. So I am really excited for this segment of the episode to have with me Trey Roski, co-creator of BattleBots, to talk about Destructathon and Proving Grounds, which I think has turned out to be such a wonderful idea. And I think a way to bring BattleBots to so many more people that, you know, maybe haven't really seen it or got to experience it. And I think it seems to be going really well. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Absolutely. I'm excited to talk about this and get, you know, your perspective on how things have gone along, because it sounds like, you know, from talking to other people that have either been to the show or competitors that have gone, that things have really, I mean, we use the word evolution in combat robotics a lot, but I think, you know, even when talking about this whole concept, how much it has evolved and developed since you first started this, you know, in the beginning. So kind of talk a little bit about that progress into where things are today with Destructathon and Proving Grounds.
So I think it's getting closer to, you know, the dream, I guess, if there is one, if we ever get there, I don't know. You know, this is something we've always wanted for a long time, to have a permanent spot, to have a place where, you know, people can not only, you know, come and see or experience BattleBots, but also a place that we can practice and play. So it's always been about safety. The bottom line is, how can we do this safely? You know, I tell a story sometimes, I do a Q&A sometimes before the show starts on our nightly show, about 30 minutes before the showtime. If I'm there and I can, I'll do a Q&A and answer a lot of questions. And I usually talk about the arena first and explain, you know, how it all started. And we actually had a little board back then that was, you know, maybe a 2-foot board, you know, and that's how it started. We started playing with a 2-foot board. And then, you know, the next year we came and we put a piece of Lexan on top, and, you know, that went up to about 8 feet, you know. Still not safe, but for the robots in those days, it was close. You know, I remember Jamie Heineman and Adam brought Blendo back then, and that's when we kind of figured out we needed, you know, more than just some Lexan put on. And in 99, we built the battle box, as you see it behind you, and it was that height. It didn't have the roof back then. We actually didn't think that, you know, parts would go up and out of the roof, you know, so much energy to get up that high, you know, and all that. Now that roof is double layered, so it's, you know, it's super strong. I mean, it has to be, you know. I mean, if you look at some of the robots that can toss other robots, 250-pound robot tossing another 250-pound robot, you know, up and over that roof, if it wasn't there, is pretty amazing. It's an amazing amount of energy. And these things have gotten more and more powerful. Every year people come back, they're stronger, more powerful. You know, it's been a challenge since day one to make sure that the arena can withstand, you know, what the contestants bring. And we've constantly been in that battle. They get a little better, we have to get better. We have to get stronger. They get stronger, we get stronger. The arena is kind of a, you know, that's kind of my robot now, you know, so that's how I, you know, get to play. I don't quite have all the parameters in, but you know, a lot of people will look at the arena and they watch TV, and some of the questions I'll get in the Q&A is, oh, why is the floor the way it is? Or why does the arena the way it is? You know, and a lot of it's there. I mean, there's a lot of engineering in that box that people just don't see. And a lot of it's to save the robots. You know, one of the things I've always told a contestant in my first, the contestants, when they come in our first little talk to them every year, every season, is you're not here to take on the arena. You're here to take on the other robot. If you take on the arena, you will lose. But, you know, there are times when you get pushed into the wall, you get pushed into this and that and the other thing, and the arena needs to be able to absorb that like it does, but it also needs to be able to try to protect the robots. So it's actually engineered to give a lot. That floor is engineered to absorb, and the only way it absorbs and what comes to the floor is to bend, break, tear open, you know, whatever it needs to do to absorb that. Otherwise, all that energy going back into one of the other robots would destroy the other robot. End of the fight. Not so good for our show. So we want the robots to fight each other. We want the robots to, you know, to last as long as they possibly can, preferably to the end. We want their weapons to last, preferably to the end, because that makes the best, you know, best show, best fight possible. So that's the kind of arena in a nutshell. It's come a long way. And every year, you know, that bulletproof glass we have, it's, you know, it's about an inch and a half thick, and it's custom made for us. It's, you know, it's strong stuff. $1 million worth of bulletproof glass in our box. And we replace about 25% of that every season, which is not cheap.
I would imagine that it isn't, but obviously, like, as you mentioned, safety is a high priority. Now, something else that you talked about, you know, with people being able to bring their robots back and like have them improve and get better, having that testing process. That was something that I had brought up in an earlier interview with Craig Danby and Jason Rogers, you know, that we've seen some of the smaller robot leagues, you know, where they have multiple events, and that's essentially how those robots are able to iterate and, you know, end up being better by the time it gets to the championships. And I think what BattleBots has done with Proving Grounds is kind of that same vein of offering something where people can bring a robot, actually test it in a real fight, and find ways to make it better so that when like the big thing comes along, then they're all ready to go and you end up with a better product overall. I mean, is that kind of how you, yeah, how you, you view know,
that's
it?
That's something we've... Absolutely. Yeah. You know, in the past, I would say the first fight or two of every time people would show up, you know, for our once a year event, they sucked, you know, and some of it was simple. You know, it was just not plugging something in right, or there wasn't enough room. And on first impact, the battery would move enough to unplug itself, or, you know, something like that was careless mistakes. It was lack of checklists, lack, you know, things that, you know, didn't deserve to go wrong. And now I think, you know, because we have four fights. Last season, we had four fights just to make it into the tournament. You know, those first two fights kind of sucked. The second two are pretty good for most every robot. Now, I think with Proving Grounds, the people at least who take advantage of Proving Grounds will get to, you know, dial that in. And we saw that with like Omnitron. Am I pronouncing that right? You know, the other day, the AI robot, Orbitron.
Orbitron, yeah.
Right? That came, you know, yeah. They came, you know, like a month ago or whatever, and they lost both fights. And then they came this time and they won both fights, you know. So you kind of looked at their mistakes they made. They found ways to fix them. They found ways to make them better. I guarantee you when they show up for the TV tournament, you know, which they will, they're going to be way ahead of everybody else that doesn't, you know, doesn't come play in the opportunity with the Proving Grounds.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, also to throw out like Craig Danby and Slammo as an example. I mean, I've personally always loved Slammo. I think it's a fantastic robot. Seeing a robot suplex another robot is one of my favorite things to witness. But historically, Slammo has not won a lot. But at Proving Grounds, Craig has been able to bring it a number of times and make those little changes. And it's doing really well.
Yeah, absolutely. His brother was there with his robot, a month ago or whatever it was, and he'll start to figure that one out. He didn't do so well, but, you know, he's starting to figure out the problems and how to make it work. So it's going to make the TV show that much better and more eyeballs, more viewers because of that. Plus, it's going to make their opportunity to win that much better.
Yes, definitely agree with that. Now, one thing that I wanted to talk about is just the overall experience of for the fans going to Proving Grounds and Destructathon, because I mean, I know probably less so than in the beginning, but obviously in the beginning, there were a lot of fans that were like, well, I'm not going to go out there for that because it's not the same thing as filming. It's not real BattleBots. But I, from everybody that I've heard from, they would definitely disagree. I mean, it's not like a completely scripted thing. There's a lot, especially in those Proving Grounds fights, that can happen. And there are stakes on the line because if they do well, then that makes them more likely to get into the actual world championship versus if they don't do well.
Yes and no. We're not looking at the outcome of the fight so much to decide if you're in or not. You can come and win every time and not make it in. Obviously we need to make good television. And if your robot or your idea doesn't make good television, we're not going to let you into the TV rounds. So it's not just about winning. And winning's obviously helpful, but it's about new ideas. It's about new things. It's, the way I look at it and I tell people is you want to build something that if somebody sees it, they go, I want to see that fight. If you think that mentality, if that comes in your head when you see this robot, not moving or moving, that's the kind of robot we need to see on the TV show. If you look at a robot and you say, I've seen that style, that type of robot before, and I don't really care about the fight. Now, don't get me wrong, because there might be a robot that you look at and you say, oh, I've seen that before. I know what it can do. I'm not that interested. You're still going to want to see, or they're going to surprise you. Bad example, but La Machine, for example, way back in the beginning, it was not a robot. It is not a robot that Greg and I would have ever let into BattleBots, period. But when it was powered up and it was driven, especially back in the first time it competed, it was very, very exciting. And it was really the driving and the action and the lack of a speed controller, made it actually something that, clicked and everybody fell in love with. It being the underdog too. It's interesting. We have Overkill that fights a lot. And it goes against Mammoth in the nightly show. And Mammoth is pretty dominant and it's pretty big and Overkill gets pushed around a lot. But, when it goes to a judge's decision, Overkill almost always wins. Not always, but, a lot of times. And Overkill has been winning more and more. I mean, it's that kind of mentality that we want to see. We want to see the upsets, the things we don't expect. And we kind of hope for that. And we love it when it happens.
Right. And I think that that's one of the best things about World Championship 7 for me was seeing like these robots that traditionally, maybe had some wins, but just weren't like the type that you think, oh, they're going to win everything. And, having a Sawblaze huge finals was just one of the best outcomes that I think that I could have hoped for in that season. And I really love to hear you say, about the design and, that aspect of it being really important because, I know as I've even gotten into some building myself, I take that mentality into my designs. Like, I don't care. Like, obviously it's good to win, but I want people to look at this and say, that's really cool. I think those are the things that keep people coming back again and again and being fans of a robot. So I think that that's so important. Now from, what the fans can expect, I'm just curious to get your perspective. Like when they come in to watch a show, what can they expect going to Destructathon and Proving Grounds?
Destruction. About as simple as that. We've got some serious destruction. We're the fights are tearing these robots up night after night after night. And it's pretty, pretty neat. And we've actually figured a lot of things out that, probably not fair for us to tell some of the teams with the robots that we have, because we Witch Doctors fought over, a couple hundred times, I've driven over 1,000, whatever, some odd fights at this point, just within the last year, which is, so driving is part of it, but figuring and dialing things out in the robots that, are existing, it's kind of a learning experience. People, what I love about the newbies coming in and practicing and everything else is really seeing their ideas, seeing their, and then perfect it and then fix it, all that kind of stuff. The Tombstone and Blip guys brought two, a multi-bot, right? So two robots that are together weighed 250 pounds. And came and practiced. I think they lost, if my memory is right. That was a few months ago. So, but it was pretty cool. Guys working together, veterans coming up with ideas, seeing what would work. and robots too, which is pretty cool. And the story that we can tell, like Orbitron, you know, where here these guys are, I came up with an interesting idea, wanted to put AI in the robot, you know, couldn't get it figured out for the first time, you know, came back, won a couple times, you know. They went up against a formidable robot, Desiree, I think. You know, however, it wasn't working up to par. So it wasn't, you know, they didn't leave their robot perfectly and you beat us, you know, and our robot working perfectly, which is always kind of a, you know, something to think about. So, but yeah, Destructathon is, you know, is amazing. The show itself has gotten really good. We're on our, you know, we keep evolving it and changing it, figuring out what makes it better or worse, and, you know, learning from it. But it's a great experience to come see. It's there nightly, you know, in Vegas, and it's showing it firsthand to the world. Almost everyone that's fans of the TV show that's never been, which is a walk in there and can't believe what's so much smaller than they actually are, you know, and they look at huge, or they, you know, look at Mammoth or some, anyone, Bronco, you know, and kind of just go, whoa, these are so much bigger. And what we've learned in these robots is phenomenal. I mean, we've, you know, Bronco now flies. It doesn't just toss other robots, but it flies, and it's capable of flying about 6 feet in the air and diving into other robots like a big spear. And it's pretty amazing. When you see this happen, you will go crazy. The physics are, you know, the laws of physics we're experimenting with, and we're learning a lot. So if you get a chance, come see it live in Vegas. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I know one thing that I have to ask that, you know, fans have been wanting to know is, outside of obviously the current Destructathon Proving Grounds, are there any plans for BattleBots that, you know, are in the works at this point, or is it still kind of just a, you know, figuring things out type of situation at the moment?
You mean dates and stuff for filming next season?
Sure, so yeah, like the plans for next season. Yeah,
it's looking really good, and I'm very, very, very happy where things are going. That, you know, that's as much as I kind of want to say right now, because, you know, I don't want to jinx anything. There's a lot of, you know, hoops that we're still trying to fight through and figure out. The biggest one, you know, with Discovery is this strike is still not completely over. They're still apparently arguing over the money, you know, the money that they will get. That's the way I understand it. Anyway, I could be totally wrong here, but over the money or something that they get from like the, you know, the Hulus of the world and the, you know, the Discovery Pluses and Maxes and all that. That part is not inked. And so they're not green lighting shows, as I understand it, until that's finalized or finished up. At least that's the way I understand it. So everybody is in the same boat, or a lot of us are still in the same boat, I would assume. But there's a lot of phone calls and talks lately with a lot of people, and things look really good. I would, if I can give anybody a word of wisdom, I would be building, because you know how these TV people go. Even though we tell them we need 6 months for the contestants, they, you know, they tell us when they want it, and either we take it or we don't. And you know, if we don't, then we potentially lose the option. So they're going to come to us. We want it, you know, in 3 months, you know, and then if you're not ready, you're not going to go. So, you know, I would be ready. I would come to Proving Grounds. I would come dial it in. There's a lot of opportunity to dial everything in and get there, especially if you want to win. And if you win, it's a lot easier to get sponsors, a lot easier to get that money that, you know, you need and want to carry this through. So, but it's good times right now. It's very exciting. That's what I want to say. And there might be some new things on the horizon. So unique new things for, at least for us, for BattleBots. Real exciting.
Well, that's great to hear. You know, obviously as a 20 plus year fan of BattleBots, and all of that, I'm always excited to hear about the things that y'all are doing and the progress being made on, you know, future things. It all sounds very exciting. And I really do hope that the fans, you know, who haven't had a chance to check out the show out there, do go. It's certainly on my to-do list for 2024. So that is really great stuff. Well, I thank you, Trey, for joining me, because I think this is going to be great stuff for fans to hear, lots to look forward to. And, you know, for those who are watching, please make sure that you like, subscribe, comment, all of that good stuff, so that I can keep bringing more amazing combat robotics content. And we'll see everybody next time on the show.